You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Shogger, lots of news going on. We've kind of heard the rumblings for a while in regards to Josh Archibald. And, you know, Duncan Keith today, now he's going to miss the first week of training camp. Chris Russell's got a neck. We didn't know that. Sore neck. So he's out for a few days. So they're a little bit short-staffed, in essence, maybe on the blue line. It just means some younger guys will get more preseason games than they probably thought they would. But what do you, like, Ken Holland's comments at the very end of, I can't remember if it was you the second time or I can't remember who asked him. And he just said, he goes, you know what, talk to me in 10 days and see how I feel. Like, I don't think this one is just, wow, we're just going to deal with it. I think they're still trying to look at what an option is to figure out how to deal with Archibald's situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's probably an ongoing dialogue in terms of, you know, he sort of indicated that the decision-making process was still underway. And that, you know, they had multiple conversations in recent days. And, I mean, look, they're probably just trying to convince him to go do it. And, you know, it's probably not an easy conversation, and it's probably uncomfortable, but he's allowing players to show up who aren't fully vaccinated and start camp, but left the door open to kind of change that down the road, and kind of left the door open to, you know, be in a scenario where they make the decision not to carry unvaccinated players. So I think he's hopeful, it sounds like, that they'll be able to figure something out and get to 100%. If they're willing or not to carry an unvaccinated player throughout the year, that remains to be seen. And my guess is the answer is probably not. I just think that it's way too much of an inconvenience, way too much of a logistical nightmare. I just don't know that it makes sense. And I think the organization, you know, probably will have to take that stand where they say, okay, you know, this is the way it's going to have to be. But I think they're hopeful that they can get it there by nudging it along here through a few steps over the next week or two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, if he hasn't changed his mind now, like, I don't know, maybe he can, but anything's possible. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, it's interesting. On the day that they announced that Stalock, who caught COVID and is now, you know, with the myocarditis, and so he's not going to play again this season, that you would allow one of your players on vax to be around when all the numbers tell you that the odds of somebody getting it are much higher if you're unvaccinated than if you're vaccinated right now, right? The numbers back that up, and, you know, that person can then spread it more. I could see it causing some tension within the room itself.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but, I mean, who takes that stand? Right? Who are the ones in the room who allow that tension to happen and take that stand? My sense in the Oiler room is, I mean, Connor was asked about this a week ago, basically said, hey, it's pretty political and I don't want to get into it. You know, everybody has a right to choose and, you know, whatever. So, I mean, I don't know if it's, I don't know what the dynamic is in that locker room and if there's the, you know, as we know, Duncan Keith, who would be as veteran as they have in there, just made the call, right? So we know where his head was at for a long time. So, I mean, is it, I don't know how the leadership structure works in there. I don't know who would be applying that pressure. I don't know if the Oilers have the type of room where that's going to be a room that applies the pressure to make sure that things like that happen. I just think their take is probably not to, you know, not to grind on each other too hard and let the chips fall where they may and let management handle it, you know. I just don't see it being that type of room that's going to regulate itself in that way. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. That's just my read on the style in there. You? I mean, maybe Darnell Nurse. I don't know. Like, who would plant that flag and say this is the way it's going to be, fellas?
Well, it might be somebody who's being impacted directly from it. That's usually when people get more involved in any sort of stance on anything, is and more people who were opposed to something, the minute it impacts them personally, all of a sudden they change. You're, oh, geez, this was worse than I thought, right? Like, I've heard lots of people, right? Like, the easiest example I use is, and it's an ugly example, but it's sexual abuse. I've had so many people, oh, yeah, whatever, da-da-da, until it happens to their daughter. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, geez, why isn't nobody listening to her? Why isn't nobody believing her? Right? It's amazing how quickly they'll spin around when it's got a direct emotional connection to you personally, emotionally, and physically.
I think if you look at other organizations, like the Vancouver Canucks, right? They've had a couple of players who've been pretty vocal about it. Right? A couple of guys that are like, yeah, I did my part to be here, and we're ready to go. So it's a little bit more of a public stance and saying, yeah, that's the way it needs to be, and this is what our group is doing. And so you could see there being internal pressure in that room. I'm just not sure where it's at, where it would be at in the Oilers room, and what the pressure would look like. And you know, I think there are probably some fairly strong characters in there that, you know, I don't know. I don't want to try and crawl into people's heads and figure out what their thoughts are. I just know. I think the leadership style in that room is probably more along the lines of, hey, you know, we're not necessarily going to be causing big problems there. Management will handle it, and it'll be what it'll be. Nobody has taken a stand, but other than McDavid and his media availability, no one's really been given the opportunity to yet. So be interested to hear what Darnell Nurse's and some of the other Drysdale's and other leaders in there have to say. And now that things are coming a little bit more into focus. But I think players fully understanding what this is going to look like for them if they remain unvaccinated, I think that's still, even you know, in the last week or two, has still been coming into focus. I think that's why Tippett had the meetings with Holland and the player that they did, trying to really make them understand this is what life looks like if we even keep you at all. And so for guys making this decision late, like what we're seeing, or guys on Canadian teams who change their mind, the fastest way to get this done is to go down to the States and get the J&J shot, that's single dose, and then come back up here and quarantine. And I think that's the fastest way rather than trying to wait out both shots. So there is a pathway for guys who aren't vaccinated at all to, within a couple of weeks, get themselves there. But it's very last minute for some here. It's not, and it's not a great look.
No, not at all. Now, I look at, you know, Chris Russell. I felt like him and Cuckoo were probably in the driver's seat to start camp for the 6 and 7 spots, you know, on the left, third pair left defense, and then the number 7. You got William Legason, and you got Philip Broberg, you know, as an outside shot. Philip Broberg, a year ago in the bubble, well, a year and a few months in August, looked fantastic. Now that's the bubble, right? So I'm kind of curious, though, with Russell out, if it opens up the door a little bit more, and we'll see if Legason or Broberg can kick it down.
Well, it opens the door, in my opinion. You know, we'll see. I mean, how long do you think Russell will be? I mean, I guess it depends on kind of what type of injury we're talking about, how long it'll be, what it looks like. But, you know, like, what did Dave Tippett say to, who was it, Ethan Bear or Caleb Jones? Or I think it was Ethan Bear, like, knock, knock. Opportunity comes knocking, right? So for William Legason, who had some good looks last year, then faded, opportunity for him to come in and show something in the early going here. For Broberg, who the sense is he probably wasn't going to start with the team, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with keeping him for a little bit here through an injury or two if he plays really well in camp. So maybe there's an opportunity there. Slater Cuckoo, for sure, to firmly establish himself on that third pairing if he comes in and had a good summer and plays well. There's some opportunity there. Russell was going to be the default guy, I think, you know, in conjunction with Cuckoo, because there's a real loyalty there with Tippett. But if he's not available, Legason to me is the big one. You know, Tippett wants to use William Legason. They want to have another good shutdown defensive-style defenseman to go to. And for a time, he played pretty well last year, but it definitely dropped off.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He dropped off without quite, but you know what? Hey, still kind of a young player, inexperienced at the NHL level. And that's why it's hard to be an NHL player, because you got to be consistent. And even if you come back off an injury, it's even harder to come back. And then maybe, you know, you lost your spot in the lineup, and then you got to fight almost even harder to get it back. And so we'll see. I think that would be a guy who's extremely motivated to want to earn that opportunity. And, you know, if Chris Russell, you know, has any lingering effects and that lasts a week or 2 weeks into preseason, well, that just gives Legason even more of an option. You know, I think for sure, you know, Russell, if he's got a sore neck, I don't see him playing on Sunday or even next Tuesday or Wednesday, Schauger. I think they'll probably be, you know, you kind of know what you get from Chris Russell, right? So I don't think
Russell's one of those guys, though. Like, he might just, you know, pop up ready to go for the regular season, maybe take an extra day or two, and then he's good to go. Like, he doesn't need to play much ahead of time here. So if he's recovering through a bunch of training camp, you know what you're going to get. You have a pretty good idea what he's going to be. So I don't know how much of an opportunity it is for either of those guys, because we don't know the timeline on Russell. If it's significant, you know, 3 weeks or whatever, then yeah, for sure.
Ryan Rashog joins us, Edmonton Sports Center, TSN 1260. Shogger, around the league, there's some interesting news. You got Tyler Bertuzzi in Detroit. He's not coming to Canada because he's not vaccinated. But that's only 9 games. See, like, that's the difference. That's why I wonder if a trade for Josh Archibald becomes, you know, the out here for Ken Holland, and there's an American team that says, yeah, we'll take him, and we know that he's depends. Now, if you're a team in the Pacific Division, that's a little bit harder because you come to Canada a few more times, right? Whereas if you're a team, even in the Central or out East, you just come there fewer times. So you're talking 9, 8, maybe 10 games missed. A team might be more willing to do that.
I mean, you've got teams in the league taking stands saying players who are not vaccinated are not welcome to be on our team, right? You've got organizations making a stand. I think all of them probably feel a certain amount of pressure to do so. Some will, some won't. Some will be more vocal than others. I don't know that anybody's going to go out and trade for an unvaccinated player. I'm not sure on the signal that sends on where you're at as an organization about the need and the importance of vaccinations, right? So you bring a guy in that you know isn't vaccinated, you drop him into the room, you create a bunch of inconvenience. You create a bunch of, you know, unless you've already got a couple of guys that aren't, that he's going to go and, you know, have these special protocols for. I would be really surprised if any team sent the signal that they were, you know, that they were that okay with it. They were going to trade for a bit player that was not vaccinated. That's a weird signal to me to be sending.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That is totally fair. And lastly, just on some CFL notes, we have, Edmonton's next opponent will be the Ottawa Redblacks, who are playing tonight. And I've heard some rumblings, Shogger, that if Ottawa loses tonight to Hamilton, they might be making a GM change. Right? And so you look at Ottawa, they've really never had they won. Right, and they got to the Grey Cup because of the crossover and everything like that. You win one game and you get to the Grey Cup. What we can debate how ridiculous it is, but nonetheless, with a losing record. But still, I wouldn't necessarily be stunned by that. And so it kind of makes watching tonight's game a little bit more intriguing to me because, you change the GM. That's not necessarily going to impact your coaching staff, but it can have a trickle-down effect for an organization when it gets people's attention and maybe makes things more difficult for the Elks next Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, with the schedule they have, they're staring down the barrel of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 3 out of 4 games. I mean, you have to take advantage of the weaker team coming in. I mean, that's just a non-negotiable on their schedule, whether it's the starting quarterback or not, you got to get that game. So, I mean, they could well drop 4 in a row if they don't get that game against Ottawa, because I think we know how good Winnipeg is. So, yeah, might have some effect on Ottawa, I'm not sure. But, I mean, that game for the Elks is, that just has to be a non-negotiable. They got to come out and recognize the moment and realize that if they can't beat that team and then they've got their schedule that they've got and then the finish that they've got, it might be curtains. You know, they got to, like, it's a shortened season. The tail end of their season is a pain in the back end because of the schedule and how compacted it is. They're in do-or-die crunch time right now in the standings, and they got staring down the best team in the league over and over and over again. You got to beat this Ottawa team, don't you? I mean, if you're to be taken seriously at all with their schedule and their situation, they're going to have to take care of their business.
Oh, 100%. Well, Shogger, we will see the players on the ice for fun.
Yeah, giddy up,
what,
hey?
What are the top two lines tomorrow for day one of practice?
Training it's going to be Puljujarvi with McDavid and Hyman, and it's going to be Yamamoto with Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins.
Ooh.
That is my guess. Okay, I mean, well, we know that in the morning session.
Really going out on a limb there.
Me the question. What do you want me to do? Why don't you say, do you think there's going to be anything unexpected tomorrow? And I will say that even if Josh Archibald is on the ice tomorrow, Kyle Turris is in his spot on the fourth line. How's that? On the right side. And Archibald is it'll be obvious he's on a fifth line or a sixth line. How's that?
Okay, so Turris will be with McLeod and Shore kind of thing?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think I heard Tip talking today on another network, and I think it sounds like they're going to try Turris out on the right side.
Oh, I knew that, like yeah.
He's beefed up a little bit, and I think that if you know, unvaccinated guys are going to come to camp, sure. But if their availability is in question and if everything, I don't think you make it, I don't think it's just business as usual for those guys. So,
yeah,
the simple fact is, if Kyle Turris can be usable this year and it makes having to use an unvaccinated player look different, you give him every opportunity. So, wouldn't surprise me. Don't have any intel. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, no, that one makes a lot of sense for sure. So then you have Cassian, Fogle, and Ryan as the as another line. All right.
Yeah, I think so. That makes sense, eh? Maybe Fogle is the guy we'll see bumped up the lineup a little bit, too.
I think you might see Cassian up in the top six. That's my prediction for day one of camp. Just
ahead
of
Yamamoto?
I think Yamamoto might be with Fogle and Ryan.
Interesting. That would be an interesting move. Yamamoto needs to get in and he needs to produce points. Cassian has other things he can go do to be effective. I'm not sure why you'd punt his legs out from underneath him on day one.
Well,
on
because
Yamamoto.
Day one of training camp is just day one of training camp, right? And the only reason I say that is because Tippett said when I spoke to him last how he feels as a coach he's got to get Cassian engaged a little bit more. So, that's one or the other, right? You have the conversation with the guys and say, hey, this is just day one. Don't read anything into this. Here we go. And away we go. So it'll be fun to see. There's some depth and competition. I think we're going to see different line combinations throughout training camp and preseason for sure.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you tomorrow, pal.